So, Tony, how are you starting to think through the way maybe these agents might be integrated into practice if the drugs become available?
So, first of all, these are all new drugs, but we're not discovering new targets yet in colorectal cancer. These seem to be mostly about the same. They're all about, it's almost VEGF until you drop in colorectal cancer. They all have very similar targets. So, you know, from the practical standpoint, I think with the TML data, more likely than not, the winner is going to be bevacizumab beyond progression, meaning patients are going to continue from first to second line at least with bevacizumab because physicians are used to it. We are as well. It has mostly silent toxicities, so it's easy to take on to the second line. So the way I see that is most likely bevacizumab is going to continue occupying a pole position first and second line. And then the question is, what do you do more specifically with the mutated KRAS patients where EGFR inhibitors are unavailable? Then the question is whether you integrate aflibercept or bring regorafenib sooner. My tendency at this point of time would be probably to consider regorafenib for those patients with KRAS mutated tumors.
So, Axel, any thoughts about why regorafenib shows activity? I remember Randy Heck presenting this huge PTK study a few years ago at ASCO, which was a TKI, where it was negative, but to my eyes, it sort of seems similar to regorafenib. You mentioned sorafenib. Do you think the difference is in the specific targets these agents hit, or maybe the way the trials are designed?
I think the main difference that we really saw, the survival benefit in this trial, was the trial design, because we compared against nothing, against placebo, in a patient population at need. And I think when you look at the trials that all failed, and I mean, Charlie made it very clear, a lot of tyrosine kinase inhibitors have failed when just kind of blindly added to first-line chemotherapy, you're not really looking at what this drug can actually do. I do believe that regorafenib as a multi-kinase inhibitor, really very promiscuous in its mechanism of action, might actually be an ideal drug for a single-agent approach in a last-line setting when tumor cells have upregulated a lot of kind of pro-angiogenic factors on ongoing therapy. It's an illusion for me to think that the tumors we started treating, let's say 2 years ago, at the end of the day, are still the same tumors. I mean, they have a lot of resistance mechanisms upregulated, and whatever it is that regorafenib hits, it apparently worked. Now, the shape of the curve, the progression-free survival curve, is very intriguing, and I do believe that the benefit of having a large study now is to go back to the biospecimen and actually tease out who benefits mostly. And the hazard ratio of 0.49 for PFS is actually quite strong. So if we find a biomarker, and the analysis is ongoing, that can shift the PFS curve northwest, you know, so that more patients actually benefit relatively and we can eliminate some patients who don't benefit, then this is actually a quite strong result.
Rich?
So, Neil, there were a couple of other disappointing studies presented on parafosine and on brivenib, and it harkens back to the PTK-787 data. You know, our biggest fear is that we're throwing out the baby with the bathwater, and some of these drugs may actually perturb the natural history of colorectal cancer, but only in a small enough subset that it's hard to tease out when you do unrestricted studies, including all comers. And I really think it's important for the CORRECT study and the VALOR study and others to look at these biomarkers. I believe that in 10 years, we're not going to be doing studies for advanced colorectal cancer. We're going to be doing studies for BRAF mutated, MSI high, KRAS wild type colorectal cancer, and that the taxonomy is going to get as complicated as non-Hodgkin's lymphoma in time. So we're going to have to be as smart as the hematologists rather than just one-size-fits-all doctors.
Yeah, and this not having the target thing, everybody always brings up, you know, if we didn't have HER2, we wouldn't have really even known that something like trastuzumab would be beneficial.